This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares one of the three segments of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Most of the members of the Town Council, selected guests, and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. At least one member of the council was remote, along with the public, via Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the full 2-hour and 45-minute meeting into three logical segments. First covers the opening through the finance and borrowing update discussion, approximately 53 minutes. Second covers the stormwater utility fee discussion, approximately 1 hour and 12 minutes. And third covers from the subcommittee reports through legislation for action to the close of the meeting, approximately 40 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released for this agenda. Let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of February 3rd, 2021.
Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock or shortly thereafter, I call the February 3rd, 2021 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Due to the continued concerns regarding the COVID-19 virus and Governor Baker's declared state of emergency, we will be conducting a remote virtual town council meeting for all public access and participation. The public will not be permitted to enter the building or participate in person. Only pre-approved participants on the meeting agenda will be allowed to enter the building and participate in person. In an effort to ensure citizen engagement and comply with open meeting law regulations, citizens will be able to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number or log in by using the Zoom link, both of which are printed on tonight's agenda, which can be found on the town's website at www.franklinma.gov. For those of you who don't have access to a computer, the call-in number is 1-929-205-6099 and enter the meeting ID, which is 882-0929-3492#, and I'll repeat, the meeting ID is 882-0929-3492#. The link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions or voice concerns. Announcements from the chair. This meeting is being recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. This meeting may be recorded by others. Citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I'll give it an extra few seconds as there is a delay.
see anyone, Tony.
You don't see anybody, what?
No, I don't see anyone.
Alicia, you see anybody? Okay. Seeing no one out there that would like to speak under citizens' comments, we'll move on to approval of minutes. The first set of minutes is December 16th of 2020. I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion, additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve the minutes from December 16th, 2020. And since we have two counselors, or at least one, coming in via Zoom, it's a roll call vote. Mm-hmm. So the clerk will call the roll.
Rangelo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Lasanti.
Aye.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
8-1, one absence.
Motion carries. I would now entertain a motion to approve the minutes from January 6th.
So moved.
2021.
2020.
Second.
2021.
How come that says 2021?
Because it's a mistake.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve the minutes from January 6th, 2021. Clerk will call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Rangelo.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Lasanti.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
8-1 absence, sir.
Motion carries. Moving on, proclamations and recognitions. We do have one this evening, and I would ask Councillor Bazanti if he would step forward and read the proclamation to William Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the audience. This is for Bill Murphy, honoring a proclamation on the occasion of serving Boy Scout Troop 126 for over 35 years. Whereas Bill Murphy joined Troop 126 as an adult leader in 1974 and served as scout leader for two terms over the next 35 years. And whereas Bill Murphy mentored approximately 62 young men in the town of Franklin and helped them achieve the rank of Eagle Scout. And whereas nearly 100% of these scouts went on to develop and execute a service project with a minimum requirement of 50 hours of service that gave back to the fabric of the Franklin community. And whereas Bill Murphy spearheaded the Troop 126 tradition, which allowed the scouts to participate in a nationwide travel and council activities. And whereas under the guidance of Mr. Murphy, three of his sons achieved the rank of Eagle Scout. And whereas Bill Murphy initiated Troop 126 participations in the Order of the Arrow, the Honor and Service Association of the Boy Scouts. And whereas Bill Murphy continues to achieve, to actively involve in scouting as an Eagle coordinator and his legacy in Troop 126 in the Franklin community as a whole will be present for many years to come. Now, therefore, be it known that Bill Murphy is hereby commended and recognized by the Town Council of the Town of Franklin and congratulated on his over 35 years of service to Boy Scout Troop 126, signed by our chairman, Tom Mercer, Franklin Town Council on February 3rd, 2021. And I just want to say to the people of the audience, Tom Mercer was a Boy Scout, I was a Boy Scout, and Jamie Helen made Eagle Scout. Thank you very much.
Bingo.
Do you think Mr. Murphy is on the Zoom call? Mr. Murphy, are you there?
I see his. I see a Laura Murphy.
I do see a Laura.
He was here. There he is. There.
He's muted. He's muted, Tom.
Okay. Can we unmute him, Chrissy?
I can ask him to unmute.
There he is. He's unmuted.
There he is. Mr. Murphy, would you like to make any comments?
He is talking.
Oh.
His audio is not working correctly. His microphone's not working.
Can I be heard?
Now you're there, Mr. Murphy.
Okay. Anyways, town of Franklin and all its people and departments have been super in helping this particular Troop 126, but all scouts, and have been a huge help in the different youth programs that the town people take advantage of. And it's because of the help from the different town departments. Because anytime I called anybody from the town to get anything okayed for a project or an event, always, after they checked out and crossed the T's and dotted the I's, it went through. So thank you, town of Franklin, very much, because you are a huge help to the youth of this town.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. And certainly this proclamation is certainly well-deserved. And thank you for your service to the youth of our community. And I, for one, unfortunately, probably was a little bit before your time, but I was a member of Troop 126 in the 50s. Which was quite a few years ago.
No, that's when you met that town.
It was still a town then, too.
Oh, yeah, I understand. You met downtown.
Yes, we met in the Universalist Church.
Yes, you did.
Right next to Dean College, which church is no longer there.
That's true.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted
Councilor
to add, I was Troop 99, which I believe now is merged with or has been and taken over by Troop 126, but it was a great time and it's a great experience to be a scout. And you and I were talking about the jamborees, and it really is a great experience. And I want to thank Mr. Murphy. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Murphy. Once again, thank you very much for your years of service to the community.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Okay, you're very welcome. Okay, moving on. Appointments, we don't have any this evening. Hearings, none scheduled. License transactions, none scheduled. Presentations and discussions. Finance Department, borrowing and debt update. Town Administrator, Mr. Helen, would you like to lead into this, please?
Thank you much, Mr. Chairman, and through you to the council. So at everybody's desk, this was not included in the packet. We wanted to leave everybody in suspense, but so we have posted this presentation for those watching at home on the town website, on the agenda where we normally have items. This is a request from a couple of you, notably Councilor Kelly, who at a meeting about a month or two ago was requesting some information on debt and interest. As all of you know here, but for the folks at home, debt and interest is a line item in our annual operating budget. And with us tonight is the finance director, Chris Sandini, and tonight giving the presentation is our treasurer collector, Carrie Bertone, who's going to run through about a dozen slides on an update to where we are on borrowing. There will be some additional information at the end, and I'm sure plenty of questions from folks. So without further ado, Carrie, you want to take it away?
Nice to meet you. I haven't met you yet. Yeah, good to meet you. Collector. Good evening. So let's get started. So treasurer, we borrow to meet current financial obligations. So that's my job. Long-term borrowing, Massachusetts General Law Chapter 44 sets out strict rules and procedures for borrowing. It requires two-thirds vote from the town council. So you've all been a part of it. I know you've done, you approved authorizations. The proceeds of the bond can only be used for the purpose of the loan. That's very important. And federal regulations, are designed to limit the borrowing process as a method of leveraging interest obligations to produce interest income, also known as arbitrage. The bond rating, we're currently at a AA+. The ratings are established by private rating agencies, Moody's, S&P. The rating, the agency judges the community's capacity and willingness to pay interest in principal in a timely fashion. Before a borrowing, we have a meeting with S&P. They require a lot of financial documentation. We have a call, Jamie and Chris, and Chrissy and I are all on this call, and they ask us numerous questions, and then they come back and give us our report card. The competitive interest rates, which are critical to saving the taxpayers money. The issuer's bid, the lowest net rate is selected when we do a borrowing. The rates, as you know, are at an all-time low, which is excellent. Some of the issuers include a bond premium. Our most recent borrowing last year, the interest rate was 1.33%. We work closely with Hilltop Securities. They're our financial advisors. I speak to them probably before a borrowing, maybe weekly. They make sure that we do everything. We have all the documentation. We adhere to all the policies and regulations that are set for any borrowing, so they make sure we do everything correctly. So the council and the finance committee in 2019, the policy is up to 3.5% of recurring general fund revenue for non-exempt debt only. The town is currently at 2.2%. With various recent authorizations, this will trend upwards. So these are some types of municipal debt. So there's non-excluded debt. That would be the library, the senior center. They are non-excluded debt. Payments are made from within the 2% levy. Excluded debt, that would be the Franklin High School. That is in addition to the 2% levy, providing dedicated source of tax revenue. When an issue is paid off, the levy decreases. Sewer and water enterprise fund debt is funded through utility rates. That provides a dedicated source of funding. A bond anticipation note, that's a short-term borrowing. The state revolving fund, SRF. You've heard this now, because that is what we're using to provide funding for the water treatment plant, and we will also be using that for the Beaver Street Interceptor. Okay. So this chart, so pretty. So the green line is our total, so that's the total debt. And as you can see, it's kind of trending upwards there in 2023. Then next, the orange line is excluded debt. That's again, all the schools, and that is dropping off. And the only two that will be remaining is the Franklin High School excluded debt. So after 2025. So now here again, it's just a summary. The water debt rises in fiscal year 23, which is the water treatment plant. And the sewer debt, as you can see on that graph, is very low, but will be climbing upwards in 23 because of the interceptor. These are some of our current non-exempt debt. And as you can see, those are the fiscal years there, the sunset fiscal years, when they will be dropping off. So we have quite a few. Starting in 23, that'll be start removing from our debt. And then these are the exempt ones. Like I've mentioned before, we have all these schools, the projects, the bonding will be paid and dropped off, but the two remaining are the high school, and they will be on for quite some time. So we have some future and current, we have some current projects and future projects that we have presented. In 2020, we presented to you $15 million for a five-year plan, some critical work on some buildings, police station, recycling center, and so many other projects we have and will be speaking to you about in the future. These are the water sewer projects. There's the Beaver Street Interceptor, the five-year water main replacement plan. We are in year three. The water treatment plant, water and sewer fund have annual capital repairs and projects that go through the capital committee for annual appropriation. And it's paid for from the enterprise fund budget. In summary, the town's operating budget debt has leveled off and we're beginning to see a decline. I showed you the debt exclusion begins to trend down significantly, but the water and sewer debt is going to be climbing because of the interceptor and the water treatment plants. We have some additional debt capacity for general funds throughout the next decades.
Thank you, Kerry. Questions from the council? Councilor Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Kerry.
Welcome.
This is, as you know, this is near and dear to my heart. I will admit that I didn't understand bonding until Steve Whalen, who some on the council might not even remember, sat in front of Jeff Nutting one night. I was probably a first-year town councilor sitting down where Brian was, because that's where they stuck all the first-year town councilors. I will continue the tradition. But Steve rose his hand to Jeff Nutting one night and said, listen, I think these bonds are way too high. We should refinance them, saving our towns millions of dollars. And Jim Dacey was in the audience, and he was like, you're right. And it just worked, right? And that was really a change. And at that point, I was like, I really need to learn more about bonds. Mm-hmm. So any new councilor, I would suggest that you take this and ask a million questions on it. First, a couple of questions, just to kind of put in layman's terms. I know I'm going to take some time on this. I apologize. But would you say a bond is almost, if you're sitting at home, like a mortgage?
No.
Okay. What would you call it? Give me a simple, if I'm sitting at home and I have no idea what a bond is, what would you call it?
What would I call it?
If similar to your home.
A mortgage is a good.
If you're comparing, like, I think you got to put it in layman's terms, because the average citizen doesn't understand a bond. All they do is they think it's a big point of debt. And what is that? In my world, a mortgage is a big sum of debt that you have on your house. And what we have is a town, and that's a big sum of debt on our town, right? We pay that over term. The next question I had was a bond rating. So we have a AA bond rating. Wouldn't you consider that somewhere around an 800 plus credit score where credit scores range from 200 to 820, 840?
It's very good, yes.
So I would say we have a very good rating. Christy, can you put slide number 6 back up for me, which is the debt history? Oh, cool. So the point of why I've asked this a bunch of times to have this is because our town is actually in financial shape, the better than most towns in our area. And if you look at the way we look, you wouldn't see this unless you're a town like Medway, who just got an influx of, you know, having to cave to a power plant to get money. But we, on the other hand, have not. So as we raise our debt to the, on our sewer infrastructure that we're planning on doing, the amount of money, sorry, and I'm sorry for people at home that are listening to me flip my page here. 2003 was Horace Mann. 2024, that money will roll off. Kella Sullivan in 2026. Horace Mann again in 27. High school in 39 and 43, which is a little further out. Essentially, what we're going to do is we're going to pay off that debt and be sitting here with a boatload of money that we can essentially pull a mortgage on, so to speak, right, in layman's terms. I know everybody in the audience and here in the office and town councils are going to be like, that's not really the real term for it. But we're going to pay that money off and be able to accumulate more debt to be able to do things like our transfer station, our police station, and the sewer infrastructure that needs to be repaired. I know you only took about 10, 15 minutes doing that, but I think this is like a 3-hour conversation for people to understand how important this is and how much this makes sense of the town council today making these decisions so that you're able to keep our town running so that we're not talking in 2026 about a sewer interceptor. We're talking in 2050 about how we have so much money in our coffers because we've taken care of all these things. When I arrived on the town council 10 years ago, we had the old Four Corners School. We had the, what was the Emmons Street, the old town hall building. I can't think of it. The old municipal building.
Oh, Muni.
Yeah, we had that.
It's called Horace Mann.
Horace Mann, thank you. We had Franklin High School. All of those buildings had not been taken care of for years. And now we have an opportunity that we have spent the last 10 years taking care of the buildings and our infrastructure in the town of Franklin. Here we sit with an opportunity to not overtax and overburden our residents and keep it at a stable level that we continue to adequately fund our community's infrastructure to make sure that they have great buildings and great opportunities so that they're not getting taxed to death or feed to death. I feel like an override. We don't have an override on a building years down the line. So I know you did this in like 15 minutes, which is fantastic because that's about the average attention span of a person these days. But this is fantastic, and I can't thank you guys enough. I've been an advocate for having this. I've been an advocate for everything that we've done the last couple of years, and I think this is fantastic. So thank you so much for all of your hard work and Chris's hard work on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to kind of piggyback off what Councilor Kelly says, I've never seen anybody get as excited about bonds as Councilor Kelly. That was exciting.
I was so excited, like excited kid, about it.
A kid in the candy factory cool when it comes to bonds. But Councilor Kelly,
money.
Councilor Kelly and myself have been doing this a long time. We've heard a lot of these stories. And honestly, the one points I like to pick out of this report today is the one thing I always bring up every single year. And Jamie thinks I'm crazy when the auditors come in. I get all excited. I'm like, well, the auditors are here. They're like, why is Mr. Jones so happy that the auditors are here? And really, not for nothing, what it boils down to is our rating. And this is the best part. And I know, I believe it can be improved only by one step. Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong. Where you have our bond rating currently at a AA+. I believe the only thing except from that is A++. Or is it A?
AAA.
Chris's. But we are the second step down from being the best possible credit this town could, that any community could have. And honestly, that says that is a huge, huge statement in regards to how well the administration, the treasurer's department, collectors, and our finance department handles the town's money, the taxpayers' money. That is a huge statement about how well things are managed. And you guys do a phenomenal job with every single dollar and penny that the taxpayers provide in order for us to have these types of bonds and these types of debt exclusions that we have. I can't tell you when I see this number here, because I'm very familiar with the 3.5 target for the recurring general fund revenue that we have every single year there. I know that's always been our target goal.
Correct.
And I know that we're at 2.2% as of fiscal year 21, which is great. Again, which is another statement in regards to how well we're managing things. I think one of the exciting things, going to piggyback off of what Councilor Kelly was saying, is that this great work is going to allow us to continue to invest in the community as a whole. Many of these investments people don't see. Some of them stick out like sore thumbs, like the high school would, or the library, which I didn't see on here, but the library is part of all this debt exclusion too. But there are so many things that go on in general that are covered under these debt, under this type of debt exclusions and other debt that we collect, that many people don't see, like the maintenance of our buildings and the wells and all the other things that we have in town. But I have to say, based on this report, and it's, again, it's nothing new, I'm looking forward to all of the future bondings that we're going to be able to get. Like, for instance, the police station. I noted that you had the police station on here. And I must say, in my opinion, that's one of our next big nuggets that we need to approach. And I hope that we eventually kind of get the ball rolling on that. And because we have 3.5, so we have 2.25, what did I say, it's almost eight points between where we should be at. So we have quite a bit of debt. I know the Beaver Street intercept is going to take up quite a bit of that debt, but we have other stuff coming on too. But that's just saying, I'm just looking forward to the future. That's my exciting little comment in regards to how well I think you guys are doing, and thank you for all the hard work. And again, And I know it's a team effort. There's a lot of people and a lot of moving parts that go into this, but I just want to thank everybody for all the hard work into making this possible. Because honestly, I wish I had a 1.33% rate on my mortgage.
I know.
Best I could get was 2.5. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Chandler.
Oh, through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Actually, you guys hit on a lot of my points already. I think people at home really, when they see that 1.33%, they really realize how much we get for that small percentage. Quick question. Say in 2025, we have the Beaver Street Interceptor and the police station, like they said. Is that about all we can do? Because I saw the municipal building in here, and so does that just cap us at two projects, or could we go more than the 50?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jamie.
It's really not, through you, Mr. Chairman, it's not about capping it at projects. I think it's really about the dollars and cents.
Right.
And there was a statement at the end, these guys know it, you know, we all know it. You know, when you have a house, you pay the interest, and when you're paying that interest, you know, it hurts. Even at 1.33%, because so we try to avoid a lot of this. And actually, if you look at Councilor Kelly's point earlier, if you look at where the money's gone, you know, a lot of things the senior center paid with cash, but you still borrowed it. You know, the municipal building windows we're going to do, there's an authorization for it, but we'll end up probably paying cash for it because we get a good bid. With the police station, you're gonna be in a situation where you're gonna be almost certainly required to do a debt exclusion vote, just like you did with the high school many years ago. The good news is Horace Mann, Keller Sullivan, those projects are gonna come off the schedule. If you look at that yellow line, you can see it starts to slide downward over the decade. That's the line for the police station that's critical. Because the police station is going to be a 25, 20, 30 million, depending on the bells and whistles, land, a lot of factors. But you're going to be in a major cost. You're going to have to likely put that out to the ballot to vote. So ultimately, that's a policy question for the council to have to do that. Or you could scale back the project. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics in it that define that. But at that kind of a cost, at that size of a building, given how expensive public safety buildings are to build, that's going to be a tough one to just go borrow the money and put it in the operating budget. We'll have to look at the fiscal impact of that, but that's a lot of money every year. You're talking multi-millions. You're sticking in there probably to pay that off. But you're not really limited to the number of projects. It's really just about the actual dollars and cents. And keep in mind the non-excluded debt, the projects that we just talked about, the senior center library, that's all competing for dollars in the pie of the operating budget.
Okay.
So when we talk about the school, you know, later on in the year, we talk about the budget, you know, overall, that's why keeping that and getting the debt back up to 3% from 2.2 is critical, because you want debt and interest to be a portion of the operating budget and have its market share so it doesn't get gobbled up in other areas of the budget. And then when you really need it, then it really hurts. So, you know, there is some capacity here. Obviously, the council has authorized a bunch of projects over the next 5 years from last year in June. And this is how we do it in Franklin.
Okay. And lastly, I just, people watching at home, when they see talking about the police station or the municipal building, just because it looks pretty good on the outside does not mean it's not broken on the inside. So people have to remember that some of these buildings are in tough shape.
How do you know that?
And a lot of well, I know everyone calls the police station the Taj Mahal, and it's not the Taj Mahal. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, my fellow councilors touched on a lot. That 2.2 to 3.5 at 1.3, it's like a no-brainer, really, to be honest with you. And thank you guys for all your hard work. I mean, it's just simple math. But again, with the police station, it's not only what it looks like. It's just there's so much stuff that changes over the years since that's been built that they need to be updated and everything like that. So that is going to be a big project. But I just wanted to say, yeah, that's if you look at the numbers of 2.2 and the 3.5 for anybody to know, and the 1.3, that just about sums up everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we, you know, we can borrow and get a lot of projects done that, you know, I mean, look at the projects that we got done so far. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there for a long time, and we've done a good job at that. You guys have all done a good job, so I appreciate that, and thank you.
Thank you, Councilor DeLarco. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. So I guess I'm going to be the bad guy here for a minute and just, or devil's advocate, for lack of a better word. So we float these bonds and we pay them back at fantastic interest rates. But what happens if the world changes, the economy changes, and interest rates change, and we can't pay, or we struggle paying these back? I don't know. I've been around finance all my life. I just don't understand. I mean, it sounds all like, you know, rainbows and flowers, and but to me, floating a bond has to be paid back eventually. And I just worry about what happens when the time comes and the, you know, chickens come to roost. And can someone explain that to me?
Jamie, you want to take a whack at it?
Mr. Chairman, well, you make an obligation, and just like a mortgage, just like any other debt, a car payment, you're on the hook for it. You know, and ultimately the consequence in that scenario of a doomsday is you float the bond, you start the projects. You know, say you do $5 million, right, and you put it in the budget, and FY22 you can afford it. Doomsday comes in FY26, you're obligated to pay it back. So if you've got to cut from the operating budget somewhere else, it's got to come from somewhere else in the operating budget. But I think the counter, or not a counter to that per se, is I think some of the other councilor comments is the town of Franklin has spent an enormous amount of money and an enormous amount of time for the last two or three decades to get the facilities, infrastructure, and ball fields up to a certain level. And then that's a value about how much you want to continue that on, right? And if that's a priority, right, and it may be for many and it may not be for others, if it's a priority, there may be in that doomsday scenario, Councilor Bisanti, cuts that have to happen somewhere else.
May I still have the floor, Mr.
Chairman? Yes, you do.
I don't discredit the quality of the projects that we're tackling. I totally endorse them. I want to see this town flourish and succeed, continue to succeed. My only concern is, in my lifetime, I think we're witnessing a pretty bad time, globally speaking. So who's to say what's next? And I don't have a crystal ball, and I'd have to say that if we struggle with a payment, that might affect our AA credit rating. So, I mean, I'm just putting it out there because I just don't like, you know, rainbows and puppy dog tails scenarios in my life. I've seen some horrible stuff happen, and I just want to make the audience aware of the fact that these things do happen and can happen. Don't get me wrong. It's a great presentation, and it's a great something to look forward to, and something, and it's a great thing for the town. But we need to be cognizant of the fact that things change, and they don't always change for the best. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Is there any other councilor? Councilor Jones?
Just a quick comment. Actually, just more of a...
I'll get to you, Melanie. One sec.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mel. Actually,
go ahead.
All right. Just a question, and this is... And I completely understand Councilor Bisanti's point. But is it not true in the sense that carrying the debt and being good at carrying the debt has a positive reflection on future borrowing?
Correct.
Okay, which is important. The reason I bring that up, and this the scenario that popped in my head, was actually when I went to purchase my house here in Franklin, and we went to pull a mortgage for the house, the creditors said, and they actually gave me issue over my wife, who had four pages of credit, all of which was excellent credit, because her borrowing was paid back. She showed a great credit report, and so therefore they had no trouble offering her a mortgage. They said to me, Mr. Jones, it's not that you have bad credit, it's that you have no credit, because I paid cash for everything up until I was 28 years old, which at the time, it kind of boggled my mind that, well, why is that a bad thing? And why is it important Why would I want to carry any debt? And what it did was it showed to the creditors and to the people I wanted to borrow money that I could be trusted borrowing money. So the town has consistently borrowed money in order for our debt, and has shown, and it's reflective in our bond rating, that the reason we keep the debt and we maintain the debt, back to your point earlier, Jamie, was the fact that we want to stay within a certain point so it doesn't jeopardize our general funds. But we also want to maintain our rating in order to be able to have a better bond for any future purchase that we have. Is that a correct
assumption? Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It ultimately comes down to the confidence of rating agencies and your ability to pay, right? And that could be just your ability to pay and your dedication within your means. One other point I'd make is one thing that rating agencies will look favorable upon is the citizens voted for CPA. You know, out of all the other benefits of CPA behind the closed, you know, in the halls here at Town Hall, that's something you put on the application and they say, you know what, in 2020, 21,000 people went to vote and that many people voted to raise, essentially put a surcharge on their tax bill to pay for something. That shows confidence in the system.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Jamie, thank you. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Chair Mercer. Thank you, Kerry and Chris, for that presentation. I know Councilor Kelly was very excited about it. I'm going to go back to a little bond 101 because I have a couple of questions about about the bond. So the 1.33% interest rate that we got the last time, is that because our rating is so high? Does that affect it at all?
Yes. Yep, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yes, that does. That definitely plays into it. That we were AAA plus, so we get a very good interest rate. That definitely plays into it.
Okay.
That's all part right. of it, Mel. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I understood that correctly. And also, there's the non-excluded debt and the excluded debt, the differences between those two, is that the amount of money that gets borrowed or how is it just how we pay it back?
Well, go ahead.
So in short, excluded debt are solely debt exclusions. Those are votes at the ballot to raise taxes to pay for a specific project that then sunsets at the end of that payment. So when the high school is paid off in 2039 and 2043, the tax rate will actually, there'll be a portion that will sunset and decrease, okay?
Right.
For non-excluded debt, that's borrowing like we're doing now within the Prop 2.5 levy. So it's within the operating budget in layman's terms.
Right. Okay. So how does one decide then what do you choose? Is it the amount of the borrow?
Yes. In most cases, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Kelly?
Thank you. Maybe I got a little too excited in my opening statements because I think this is fantastic. I didn't realize.
I like it when you're excited.
I know. You know, I'm always an advocate of not spending our taxpayers' dollars, but this is smart spending in my opinion. I'm going to take exception to the puppy dogs and rainbows. So let me just explain a couple of things. If you went to go get a mortgage today, your lender would want a minimum of 28% of your income as debt. That's what would allow them to essentially give you a mortgage of what you would want and be at the highest rating to be able to get the best interest rate. So 28%. We have 2.2% currently with a max of 3.5, which is by coincidence the same of our most recent interest rate, 1.3. So the only reason our rating is so high is because town councilors, current and previous, have been so fiscally responsible to the town. I don't know how else to say it. So to sit here and say that myself or anybody else as a town councilor who has been on the town council for 2 years, 3 years, 10 years is my case, that I'm worried about the future town councilors being not fiscally responsible, that's not a right way to look at it. The council is responsible for the debt of the town on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So at the end of the day, when I look at this, all I see here to me, like we, at 5 o'clock tonight, we got together and we did the town administrator's report card, so to speak. To me, this is a town council and a town report card. To me, we got a AA plus report card for our town. For the last 10 years, we have been fiscally responsible to the residents of our community. And for that, the bonding rating or that we receive is an AA plus. Now, I don't know about anybody else in Franklin, but if they're my children, and I have two of them, came home with an AA plus, all right, I'd be very happy. Seriously, I came home with C's. I was lucky we went to McDonald's if I got C's. I was, my parents were like, good job. So, and I'm all kidding aside, right? I think this is great for us. And I applaud the past councils, and I have no thought in my mind that the future councils won't do just as good of a job as protecting our community. So the bond rating is great. And I don't think this is puppy dogs and rainbows. I think for the fact that we are soundly spending money moving forward and in the past to the point where here we are today. I mean, we've got 2.2% debt. We're looking at 3.3%. I circled something else in here that I wanted to point out. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, this is a really good job by not the town council, not the administration, not the treasurer's office, but by everybody involved. And I have no reason to think that moving forward, we won't continue to have a great opportunity to do this. Whoever gets elected to this position has one thing, the most important thing in their mindset first, and that's what's best for the town of Franklin. And I consider that whoever does that is going to continue to do that. And if they don't, well, they're not going to get elected in 2 years. That's the joy of having an election every 2 years, that if your council's not doing a good job, your school committee's not doing a good job, you're not going to get reelected. So this just proves that we've continuously elected good people to our town council. They've made smart decisions on who to hire for a town administrator. The town administrator's made good decisions. I know that's debatable.
We're not done with that review.
Can't do it once.
Is Jeff not? If Jeff Nodding's listening, please come back.
Pay him enough to come back. Trust me.
But no, kidding aside, I wish the audience was here because they really get my jokes a lot better. The town administrator has done a great job at hiring great staff, and here we sit, right? We're in a great financial position. So it's not puppy dogs and rainbows. It's not the future or the past of puppy dogs and rainbows. It is a sound fiscal community, and I challenge, and I will be a resident of this community for a lot longer than I'm probably a counselor. I challenge this community to the next 20 years of ups and downs economies, and it will successfully go through them. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. The only thing I'd like to add is I look at this and I look at the job that the community has done and the taxpayers have done. As we look at the debt exclusions and we look at how it is spread out, we're looking at 6 debt exclusions coming off the coffers over the next 5 years, and then another 4 coming off in the next 4 years. So you look at that, and that just says to me that the town is on the right path and we're doing the right things and we're picking the projects as we move forward. In 2029, at the end of that year, as we sit here right now, we have one debt exclusion in high school. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, everything else is done. And we're sitting here with three state-of-the-art middle elementary school complexes. We're sitting here with a new DPW, two new fire stations, a refurbished fire station and a new fire station. We're looking at a new senior center. All of these things, the town, the library, all of these things, the town has stepped forward and said, okay, we want to invest in the community's future. And we've done that. And we continue to do that. And I think that's just plaudits out to the community as we vote some of these debt exclusions going forward. And as we look at our debt process and the fact that we're sitting here with a AA+ rating, bond rating, I'm sorry, I don't think we could be sitting in a better position than we are right now. And that's kudos to this council, prior councils, this administration. Prior administrations have all done a very good job of looking forward, looking to the future, and what's best for the community of Franklin, and I think we've done that. Councilor Bazanti, you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do concur with most of what you said. However, I want to be clear, the interest rates are so low right now because there's a global pandemic going on, and the governments are trying to stimulate and keep the economy stimulated. I mean, my own business is interest driven, and rates being so low, my company has actually grown. But I've had to hire people. But that, to me, is a false positive right now. I sense as we recover, rates will go higher. And I'm just trying to be a realist, okay? I want to thank Councilor Kelly for eulogizing the puppies and Doug. Puppies and
rainbows,
tail and whatever. It's just, I just want to be realistic, pragmatic, and look not just to a rosy economy continuing, and not that we're in a rosy economy, we're in a pandemic-driven economy right now. That's why interest rates are low. That's why people are buying houses. Whoever's behind it actually is, in theory, is doing the right thing, but there are also a lot of people unemployed, losing jobs. I think the gas industry and the fracking industries, a million jobs are going to be down the tubes. That's going to have a trickle-down theory. There's going to be a tremendous amount of trickle-down in a negative way. That's not to take away from the investments we made in this town and that we're paying for. I just want to point out, floating bonds is a wonderful thing, but they have to be paid back. That's all I want the audience to know. The way we're making it sound is it's free money. It's not free money. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bazanti. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item or have a question? I don't see. Chrissy, you see anyone? Okay. Kerry, thank you very much. Chris, thank you very much. Jamie, nice job. Thank you all very much for a great presentation. Thank you, Councilor Kelly, for bringing this to the council. Again, as we proceed with our meetings going forward, we're trying to bring departments in to give us these presentations and give us these updates, not only for us as councilors, mm-hmm. but for the community as well. And I want to thank everybody for these presentations.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.